The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, which can be found in your pew Bible starting on page 832. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading continues in the second chapter of Matthew and at verse 13. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. You have broken the silence of heaven and have spoken to us not only in Holy Scripture, but in flesh and blood in the person of your Son, our Lord Jesus, and through the lives of men and women whom he touched. Touch us by your presence, and grant to us, even through the fallible words that now are spoken, a word in which we know we have met with you, the living God. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Throughout the season of Advent, we have been focusing on the story of Mary, part of the Christmas story, obviously, but each week looking at a different part of her life, thinking to begin with about her call to bear the Son of God into the world, to be the mother of the Son of God, and thinking about her life in other ways as well, about her rejoicing, her singing in a song that we call the Magnificat that is often set to music, at the sense of being part of the will of the living God. This morning, I want to continue thinking about Mary's life and God's work in her life, especially as she meets circumstances in which more and more her life seems to be absolutely out of control. Absolutely out of control. Well, this actually begins with her call. Imagine being Mary at the time when God comes through an angel and speaks to her and says, "You're going to have a baby." This is not on her own terms. This is not the way she'd imagined her life to be. Things are taking a different course, and God not only wants to use her in his service in a way she hadn't imagined, but wants to take, and I want to be delicate here, to take over not only her soul and her spirit, but her body, her whole being, to bring this child into the world. This may seem to us to be a strange thing. In fact, it doesn't smell quite right that God should do this. And yet, here we have an image of what God wants to do with all of us. When God comes to us and speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, he does not just want our souls and our spirits, but wants our whole lives. Christian faith has always been about spirit, soul, and body wrapped together. We are not disembodied spirits. We are human beings made in the image of God as we are, and he wants all of us. And actually, Mary, in accepting this call, is imaging for us the call of God in every single one of our lives in some way, shape, or form. He wants to come to all of us and bring us to that place where we surrender our will and say, "Your will be done," not just in our heads or in our hearts, but with our whole lives. This is what he wants for us, a sense of letting go and being out of control. God's in control, but we are not. There are times in which it is not obvious that God is in control at all, and as Mary's story continues, we move into a period in her life in which that is not obvious for her. So she's going to have the baby. She said yes to God. She surrendered her will. And then powers go into play around about her. Political powers in her case, the power of Caesar Augustus, the most powerful person in the world, sends out a decree, easy for him to do, but affects the lives of countless hundreds of thousands of people throughout the Roman Empire. He wants to raise taxes. To do this, he needs to enumerate who's in his empire, and they have to go to their place of heritage to be counted, to be put on a roll somewhere so that they know what they are going to raise. And Joseph, who is betrothed to Mary, comes from the town of Bethlehem, descendant of David, and they have to go there, and they have to go there not on their own timing, but on Caesar Augustus's timing. They are out of control. They have no control over this at a time when Mary is about to deliver her baby. She may want to have her baby at home. If things were on her own terms, she would be with those she loved. But no, they are whisked away, and they go to Bethlehem. And there, when they arrive in Bethlehem, not on their own terms, there is no place to stay. No vacancy signs are up. And she has to have her baby out with the animals, lays the baby in a manger. And as if that's not bad enough, sometime later, another political authority rises up. This time it's King Herod, who hears that a baby has been born who might be a usurper for his power and for his throne. And he decides that the best thing to do is to wipe out all the babies who might possibly fit the bill. So there's a pogrom. He begins to put all the babies to death in a certain area. He knows that the prophet Micah says this baby will be born in Bethlehem. So that's the area on which he focuses, and sends out the troops. And Mary and Joseph hear about this, and they have to flee for their lives. Like so many people in our world as refugees, they have to flee for their lives. If their lives are going to be preserved, they go down, as we read in our second scripture reading, to Egypt. They're not in control. Things seem to have spun out of control. And yet this is where they find themselves. And these stories raise questions for us, two kinds of questions. What are we to do for the people in the world who are like Mary, who have no control over their lives at all? And what are we to do when we feel like that as well, when we feel like Mary? Much of the time we may have control, or we think we do, but there are times when all of us feel as if, whoa, there are forces at work around about us over which we have no control. This morning, I just want to suggest a couple of approaches, very simply, to think about these particular issues. What are we to do for all the Marys in the world, and there are millions of them, subject to forces beyond their control? So my recommendation today is just this, that we focus not on what we cannot do, but on what we can do. We focus on what we can do and not on what we cannot do. The problems can be so enormous, I don't even know where to begin. Begin somewhere. And in beginning somewhere, let me recommend that you think about the spheres of your particular influence, the spheres of your particular influence. So we all belong to different spheres in life. Some of us actually are involved in the political sphere, and we have some influence there. All of us are Christian citizens, so we have some influence there as citizens who happen to be Christians. But some have more authority or power there than others do. What can we do in that sphere? No matter what our approach, this is not about partisan politics, but no matter what our approach to help those who feel as if their lives have lost their power, God is always in the business of caring for such people. And we have been called, no matter how we do it, to use our energies to help those who are Marys in this world, hundreds and thousands of them, in whatever way we can. Or then move to another sphere, our families. So we have a family. What can we do in our family to help those who feel powerless? The unit is much, much smaller, but there are things on a small scale that we can do as families to touch those whose lives are, for whatever reason, out of control, at the mercy of other forces around about them. It is no accident that God places us in our families, this small unit, can be an effective mission unit in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then one other sphere. It's the sphere of the church. It's us right here. What can we do? If you were to turn around and look at what I see here and what I see and you see there, there's a whole lot that we can do together that we cannot do by ourselves. We probably cannot fix the whole world, but there are parts of the problem that we can address. We lit the candle of peace. There is a certain measure of peace that we can bring if we work together to parts of the world that God loves and to which He sent His Son. So I mentioned earlier Mission Gifts at Christmas. Downstairs below us, a couple of dozen organizations that we can support, and we can do this with our money, but we also have an interest in the people who are involved in these organizations, who in many cases are dealing with the powerless, empowering the powerless to be what they could not be unless our power was moved in their direction. So there are orphans in Kenya. They didn't choose that life. There are children growing up in Aleppo, a city we had probably never heard of a few years ago, but which now is a symbol of destruction and war and death. But this is where they are growing up. This will be their childhood memory. There are people, young men in particular in Honduras, who live in a gang environment, who need mentors to show them that there is another way of life. There are people in our own city who do not have work and who want work. And we may be skeptics and say, well, there are some who just won't work no matter what you do. But there are certainly some who acknowledge they messed up at the beginning of their lives. And they now do want to work, but they do not have the skills to work. Well, there are ambassadors of Jesus Christ at work in our city, sharing skills with people who want to work, which they never received for whatever reason earlier in their lives, and we can support them in their place of powerlessness. So, what sphere are you in? And what can you do, leaving beside the fact that there are some things that we cannot do, some things we are not able to do? What can we do instead of what can we not do, and where we can do it? For all the Marys in the world, but what about ourselves? If we feel as if we are Mary. So we're thinking of all these other peoples, and perhaps we're screaming inside and we're saying, I feel like Mary. All of these dynamics in the life around about me at work or in my family or wherever it may be, and I just do not have control of what's going on at all. So what do we say there? Well, I think I'd say quite simply, read the story of Mary again. And read it with this in mind, this question. Why are we reading this story at all? Isn't history about Caesar Augustus and Herod and all these powerful people? Why is it that we have this story which has been read for 2,000 years, which not exclusively but in part focuses on this out-of-power person called Mary? Why is she at the center of this story? To which one of the answers is, she's at the center of the story because God wants to put all kinds of Marys like her at the center of His story, including you and me. We're at the center of His story too. And while it may seem as if she was out of power at the mercy of all these forces, what is profoundly true of the story is this, was that she was at the center of God's story, and His will, His purpose was fulfilled even through her powerlessness, perhaps especially through her powerlessness, perhaps especially through her surrendering to the knowledge of His love and power and care for her in spirit and soul and body. When she acknowledged that, she placed herself in the midst of a purpose that nothing could destroy, even though it looked as if it could, it couldn't. So hers is the eternal story, the story of one who seemed to be out of control, but was safe in the arms and in the hands of a God who has purposes and plans for people just like Mary, for people just like you and me. Her story, in so many ways, is the story that God wants for you and me as well. This is God's call to us, not just to her, but to us, to serve him in his world where we can, in the spheres of influence in which he has placed us. There are so many Marys out there, and God has called us in Jesus' name to touch them and bring them his healing. And where we feel like her, to know that his sovereign purposes for her are his sovereign purposes for us too. May we know this and find, as our candle speaks today, the peace of Christ which passes understanding. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the sovereign God out there as well as in here. Not only with our spirits, but with our whole lives. Give to us, by the power of your Spirit, a peace that not only passes understanding, but that empowers us to live our lives with confidence and hope, and as your faithful servants in this world, wherever you have placed us and wherever you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.